that he had, and he did well. He made a decision. I might have not been treated right, but I'm going to do my job right. I'm going to be faithful in serving this man. And guess what? The man kept raising him up until he's running a household. Same thing happened. Then he got accused, falsely accused. How many of y'all been falsely accused? See, you can let false accusation put you on the wrong path. You may end up in a lot of trouble because somebody lied on you. But what did Joseph do? He put him in jail, and he just kept that same attitude. His focus on God, the destiny, those dreams that God gave him, I believe that he just held on to them. Somehow, God's going to bring this to pass. And he stayed faithful, and before you know it, he run in the jailhouse. So he goes from running one man's house to running the household of a whole nation. Because then we see that he got promoted out of the jail to the palace. He was faithful in managing one house, one household. He proved faithful in managing the few. Now he's qualified because he's faithful with the one, the little, the insignificant. And now Pharaoh hands him the keys to the kingdom and say, you are second in command. Nobody has more authority than you. And he just kept on being faithful. He kept managing his time, managing his talent, managing the resources that God gave him. I'm going to tell you, you got to look at how you're spending your time, because the devil can steal from you that way. If he can get you doing things and wasting time, then that's another way that he steals from you and robs you. Amen? Don't get involved in things that don't contribute to your destiny. Develop the gifts that God's placed in you.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
My. Come on, let's give the Lord another hand for the St. Thomas Church. God bless them. Brother Maxim, I know your father, Dr. Maxim, is looking down from heaven and smiling greatly on you all today. God bless. Let's give God another hand to pray. They hadn't been together since before the storm. And they're here, and they just blessed our hearts. Now what's going to happen when they really get back together? Glory to God, to God. I told Brother Daniel, I said, don't let the little number fool you. Amen. There's some big voices for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if that don't encourage you, you already did. We need to go on just. Would you stand on your feet, get your Bibles, and honor the word of the Lord. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 12. And I want to deal with the 16th and following verses for your consideration. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, your stuff won't be with you always. Your stuff, your substance, will not be with you always. First portion of my message this morning, as I dealt with verse 13 through 15, it says, one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Jesus, as he is called upon to divide the inheritance among brothers, Jesus recognized, as he is speaking to an innumerable multitude, according to verse 1 of the same chapter, is quite aware that there are some persons in the crowd who are not there for the spiritual benefit of his teaching or ministering only. That there are some folk there listening, trying to trap him, trying to take out of context his renderings, etc., etc. But he recognizes when this man comes out of the crowd and asks him to be a judge or a divider of the inheritance, that Jesus knew that there were some lawyers who were in the crowd, and he dealt with them not long before this. And so what he wanted to do is deal with, in these two words that we find in verse 14, judge and divider, these two words come out of the realm of jurisprudence. They're terms that he knew would bring about some kind of offense if he tried to step into the arena of the law versus the arena of the word, versus the natural versus the spiritual. And so he deals with this and makes clear that they understand that I do not have the judicial right to render a decision that your brother would have to obey under the statutes of the law. So he said, I want to make clear you understand I'm not holding a position as a national or natural judge or a divider. So after he clears that up, he moves on to deal with the spiritual implications connected here with having a spirit of covetousness. Now, one of the things that he was dealing with was dealing with one having a spirit of greediness and the other of neediness.
As he looks at this and deals with this, he wants it all to be brought into perspective. He wants it to be brought upon the basis of what is right and what is real. And as he deals with all forms of greediness and covetousness, one in those who wanting what doesn't belong to them are more than their share of what belongs to them, and then from the other perspective of those having and trying to hold on to more than is meet or is right, because there is a spirit of covetousness. He deals with different forms of covetousness in these verses. But one of the things he does in the text is he magnifies how, again, we can become covetous even over stuff that we possess temporarily. Now, one of the things that's clear in the verses that we shall again go into before we conclude the message is this, that whether or not you're on the part of seeking after something or holding on to something, there is a way that in both cases you do yourself a great disservice. One of the things, again, that he points out about a man who has his own labor, who has the blessings and the fruit of his own labor, and yet there is something that he brings out about this that is not right. It's not correct. The first thing, as we look at the text and see, is that he deals with the man's substance. He deals with his substance. Verse 16 says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Plentifully. Now, he was already rich, and yet his grounds produced even more. Now, even as Jesus recognizes this man's plentifulness, he recognizes his abundance, he recognizes his bounty, he's not casting down his bounty or his abundance or his blessings. So the first thing I want you to know is the Lord doesn't have a problem with you being blessed. Lord doesn't have a problem with you having more than sufficient. God has no issues with your substance or your stuff, but he does have issues and take issue with the fact of how you deal with your stuff. Now, first of all, again, notice here he says he was a rich man who brought forth plentifully from his ground. Now, he moves from the man's substance to the man's selfishness. Because sometimes the reason why a whole lot of us got a lot of stuff is because we're selfish. We don't know how to share. We don't know how to be a blessing. And so we're afraid that if we get rid of our stuff or give our stuff, it diminishes us. But far be it from the truth, if you understand the principles of sowing and reaping, you can never give away more than you get in return when you do it according to the word of God. And so listen at this now. As he moves from the focus of the man's substance, I want you to see how he now focuses on the man's stubbornness or his selfishness. For the word says, "And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Now, this whole conversation went on with him, himself, and him. That was all. They talked among themselves. That was a Trinitarian unity within himself. Didn't include nobody else, not even God. There were some things that was obvious about this man's conversation. One, he did not acknowledge the sovereign God. He didn't thank God for his blessings. He didn't thank God for his bounty. He didn't thank God for the things that God had given him the ability to do. Second thing about it was he was not concerned about God's plans for his future. It was clear that he did this on his own, in his own mind, with his own hand, with his own labor, discounting the fact that God gave him health and God gave him strength. God gave him seed. God gave him ground. God gave him rain. God caused those things he sowed to become fruitful. God did the increasing of the. He left God totally out of the plan, being ungrateful. And it was very clear that he had no intentions of changing his ways. Well, the one thing that's so very clear about the fact that this man was blessed and rich and had become self-sufficient and dependent upon himself only was the fact that what he did not know was God could give him, allow him to have all the stuff, but still not give him the life to enjoy it. He was so wrapped up, so caught up, so tied up, so tangled up in getting the stuff that he forgot about the one who gave him the ability, the wherewithal to bring about the reality of it. Look at this, because now Jesus moves from the substance and from the selfishness to his soul. Because the text says, verse 19, the man said, and I will say to my soul, like his soul was his final part connected to the divinity. He says, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Gloat in your own accomplishments. Sit back there and pat yourself on the back because ain't nobody else invited to the party. Just look around and look at your stuff and just, because the word says fruits and my goods, which means his treasures, those things that he had accomplished and he had purchased through the fruits that he had borne from his labor. And so, again, nothing is wrong with the stuff as long as it is in its proper context. But he just wanted to have this selfish party looking at for many years all of the things he had accomplished. And he had that mentality like somebody, you know, that I know whose name I won't call, who think they've accomplished all the stuff on their own. Look at what I've done. Look at, nobody gave me nothing. I had to work. I went to school. I did this. I did. And thank God you did all of those things, but don't be unmindful of who gave you the ability to do it. It's amazing when we're down, we know God. When we're up, we forget about God. This is no new scenario. If you read the Old Testament, you'll see how time after time God told the prophet to remind the people of who it was that was blessing them, who it was who was sustaining them, who it was that was redeeming and keeping them time and time again. My brothers and sisters, why does it take God to allow something to happen before we recognize that we can't get so blessed that we forget who's blessing us? We cannot become so blessed that we forget who's opening doors, making ways, keeping us safe, taking us to new levels, bringing us to places we've never been. How many times does the Lord have to remind us afresh that we belong to him? Now look at this, because I want you to see this. As he says to himself, he encounters his soul, but it's not to the glory of God. It's again for a selfish person and for a selfish purpose. He says, my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink and be merry. Now he stepped beyond his ability. Listen. To control the future and the effects of the future. All he could talk about and everything he talked about had to do with his present and his past. Now, God will let you go to a certain extent, but then there reaches a point where when you leave him out of your future, you are saying, God, I don't need your help. I've come this far, not by faith, but by my own works and by my own doings and by my own accomplishments. I don't need your help anymore. And this is the attitude he took, and God had issues with it. Look at what the next verse says, verse 20. But God, God wasn't even invited in the conversation, but he had heard enough. And what he didn't understand was that God was listening to his conversation, hoping and praying that he'd invite God in it some kind of way. Maybe coming to himself and said, you know, I never really even thank God for all that he's blessed me with and all he's done for me and how far he's brought me. But you know, while I'm celebrating, I'm going to celebrate God. God was just waiting for him to invite him in the celebration of all of his accomplishments, but he chose not to. And it was, as it were, as he were planning the party, he was planning all of the things of his future and his event, God stepped in with an emergency announcement. It was just like he was watching TV and he was all into his program, and God said, we interrupt this program to bring you a message from heaven. And he speaks directly to him. Notice what God calls him. His name wasn't even important to God. God says, thou fool. Listen at it. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. You know, the soul you just got through telling take a break. The soul that you just had to answer you. The soul that you thought you had control over. You don't understand that the breath in your body and the life in your body belongs to me. And yet you didn't acknowledge me. So I'm going to have a little talk with your soul tonight. And tonight, your soul shall be required of you. Now look at what God asks him. Jesus makes this clear. Then, whose shall those things be? Listen, which thou hast, past tense, provided. You see, you wouldn't help nobody when you could have helped them. You didn't bless nobody when you could have selectively blessed somebody. You could have said, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I want to be a blessing to you. God has blessed me. I've got more than sufficient, and it's not going to hurt me one bit to take your level of life to another level. I just want to be a blessing because I can't use all of that. I am so abundantly blessed that I want to share it with you, and you could have select who you bless. He says, but now listen, since you are so organized, got all your stuff together, you have chronicled and categorized all of your stuff, and it's bigger and greater and grander than anything you have done in the past. Now what I want you to know is morning time won't even be here for you to see, because I'm going to take your soul tonight. But before I do that, just answer me one question. Who's going to get your leftovers? Because while you were preparing, you didn't prepare no will because you thought you were going to be here. So I want to know who's going to get the bed you sleep in. Who's going to get the car you drive, the mansion you live. Y'all getting quiet in here. Who's going to get the clothes you wear? Who's going to eat the food you provided? Who's going to have your bank account? Y'all listening to me here? You didn't think about those things, but I do want to thank you for providing it for them. And you won't even have a part in the selection of who gets to receive those things. Listen at this. Because your soul will be required of thee this night. My brothers and sisters, when we miss our focus off of God, when we become so caught up in self and our self-survival that we do not thank God for where he's brought us from and where he's bringing us to. When we get to that place and point where we think it's been because of all of our accomplishments and our doings, and God gets left out of the process, he wants you to know you can only hold on to those things for so long. Look at Paul talking to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. Look at what Paul tells him in that verse. He says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Quoting Job and recognizing Job when he had lost everything he had due to no fault of his own, but because God allowed him to be tested, Job recognized, listen, everything I have comes from the Lord. The Lord gave it, and if he wants to take it away, I'm still going to bless his name, because if he blessed me once, he can bless me again. And so Job recognized God was doing what he was doing because he was authoritative. He had the absolute power to do whatever he wanted to do. And when you love God for God, you don't love him for the stuff he does for you. You love him because he is God. When you love God because he is God, you ain't got to worry about the stuff, because you have stuff on this side. And there's some greater stuff he's got for you on the other side. But here was a fool who did not consider God. And because he did not consider God, all of his substance that he worked so hard for, labored so hard for, did much of it on his own so he wouldn't have to share with anybody else. And now God asks the question, whose will these things be for now? Now, that was a question, because it just sounds like a rhetorical question, but he begs to stir up now his conscious thought of others. Whose? You didn't consider anybody before, and it probably wasn't nobody on his mind now, because he had so ostracized himself from folk, thinking he was an island unto himself. You know, it's bad when you throw a party and you don't want nobody there but you. You know, he sung the opposite of the song, "I can do bad all by myself." He said, "I can do good all by myself and celebrate with myself. Don't need nobody else." Now, he had issues. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how blessed you are, it's diminished when you can't share it with at least somebody else. I wouldn't want to be to the place where I'm so blessed that I'm scared to tell people, show people, and share with people the blessings of the Lord. That's too many blessings then. Your blessings are a witness unto God. The power of God, the divine ability of God to do in your life what he desires to do. All he wants you to do is to be grateful. To be a vessel, to be a vehicle, and to store the valuables so that he can direct you into that place, area, or arena where you can deposit them for him. And you will have to build greater bonds if you take on the mentality of the Lord. Because once he knows that you're not hung up on the stuff, he will add more stuff to you. Because the word says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added." You ain't got to be, "Lord, give me this, Lord, give me that." Just seek him first. Get your priorities right on him, and he's going to stack stuff up around your doorstep. While you're talking to him, calling on him, thanking him, praising him, glorifying him, he's going to have deliveries made to your house. And it's going to be stuff you want, stuff you need, stuff you desire, and stuff you didn't even have to ask for. But when you get hung up on your stuff, God's going to show you that your stuff is not going to be with you always. Either your stuff is going to leave you, or you're going to leave your stuff. But when you're caught up on the source is with you on this side, and the source will be with you on the other side. And when you know who your source is, no matter where you are in the north, east, south, and west, he's going to have stuff waiting on you, because he's your source. Oh, my brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it today. God wants us to refocus our attention and our affections and our allegiance on Him. Don't get so caught up in all of the things that you may have accumulated or acquired or accomplished, because all of that stuff soon